I'm Scott Veerstra, and this is my lovely wife, Abigail Veerstra.
And we are together as a couple deciding to get baptized.
It was, we were doing the Goliath Must Fall series. The lesson in the story is how to conquer your inner demons through Christ. And that's something that I've been struggling with, is just general trust in anyone and anything. So this is my leap of faith.
I feel like a lot of family and friends have been talking to me a lot about it. Like I said, why wait? Because I feel like we've been wanting to do this for a while, and as a couple, we haven't really full-heartedly got into it, and we want that. And so I feel like this was a big leap to, you know, overcome and let Jesus just take over.
You are putting Christ in charge. You are fully assuming faith in Him, that whether it be a simple decision in life or a difficult decision, you know, you're giving your all. You're fully believing that what God knows is best for you will be the outcome.
I'm with Him.
I'm Scott Veerstra, and this is my wife, Abigail Veerstra, and we love believing in Christ here at LVCC.
So Scott and I have known each other for a few years now, and been a pleasure having him and Abby worshiping with us and being in our life group and stuff. And it's going to be an honor for me now to be able to call Scott my brother in Christ after this. And you know, we were always good friends, but now we're going to be brothers. It's pretty special. And I love the fact that they're doing this when we just got done celebrating Easter weekend and the Holy Week, and what that represents of Jesus's death, burial, resurrection, and kind of what baptism represents is you're dying to yourself and you're coming out a new creation, just like what Jesus did for us. And so I think this is more than appropriate timing, guys, that you're doing this. So yeah, it's pretty special. And with some conversations I've had with Scott, this is more of an inside thing between me and Scott, but I can assure you there's no one you can trust more than Jesus Christ. So anyway, I'm going to ask you, Scott, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and your Savior?
Yes.
Do you believe He died for you?
Yes.
Amen. Repeat after me. I believe. That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
God's Son.
God's Son.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
He died for me.
He died for me.
And now I'm going to live for Him.
And now I'm going to live for Him. Amen.
Scott, because of your great confession, it's my privilege to baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of all your sins and for the gift of God's Holy Spirit.
All right.
It's Abby Veerstra, and her and Scott have joined our life group a couple of weeks ago. And this isn't just the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about this for quite some time now. And when kind of I approached them a couple weeks ago about this, and Abby says, yeah, let's do this. And this a couple of days ago, last night she texted me with Scott and said, hey, their philosophy right now is why wait? There's no reason to wait anymore. And I love that, because that's about as pure and natural a response to the gospel as you can see in Scripture. That we see example after example of people hearing the gospel, and then the response to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is to profess with your mouth, believe, and be immersed in Christian baptism. And so I was super pumped about that, and Abby and Scott, and the decision you guys are making in front of your kids, in front of your family and loved ones, pretty special. So why wait? We're not going to wait any longer. So I'm going to ask you, Abby, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and your Savior?
Yes.
Do you believe He died for you?
Yes.
Awesome. Repeat after me. I believe. That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of a living God.
The Son of a living God.
He died for me.
He died for me.
Now I'm going to live for Him.
Now I'm going to live for Him.
Abby, because of your great confession, it's my honor to baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of all your sins and for the gift of God's Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful decisions. And we thank you for being here on Decision Sunday. And we do this periodically through the years to give people a chance to kind of have camaraderie in the process. Sometimes it's easier to do things with other people than it is to step out on your own and do them by yourself. And that's what Decision Day offers, an opportunity when you know there's going to be others making decisions for Christ, some in Christian baptism, some in rededication, some in placing church membership. And we saw all of those things in the early church service, and I think we're going to see all those things in this service. And then all this afternoon we have the baptistry scheduled so that people can come in with their families and friends they'd like to invite, and we'll have baptisms all through the afternoon. I know I have three to do after this service, but there's other baptisms. And if you're interested in making such a decision, be sure to stop by the beginning point on the way out. And if you've already talked to Jeff, or if you're already secure in your decision and you have no questions, they're going to offer an invitation hymn at the end of this service. And you can just come forward and join the others that are here. At last count this week, I was seeing reports coming in of all those that were making decisions. At last count, it was 23 decisions that were going to be made this week and this morning. And we would love to have it be 33, 43. Regardless, if you have a decision to make, it's a great Sunday because you know you won't be alone in the making of it. Well, let's start by hearing from God's Word. We're going to read Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. In your own Bible, that is not in your own Bible. I don't know what page it is in your Bible. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1042. 1042 in that Pew Bible. And in your Bible, though, it will be Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24, page 1042 in the Bible. And for the last three chapters now, prior to this, Jesus has been preaching his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is the record of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, where he laid down the principles of living that he wanted his followers to ascribe to. Want to be a Christ follower? This is the code of living that Christ gave to be followed. And we're going to read his words respectfully together. As we stand, we'll hear his closing illustration at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, and begin with verse 24. There Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Lord, we thank you for the reminder you give us this morning of preparing for the future. And though we do not know what storm might be coming, you have told us how to prepare to survive it. And we pray you open our ears and our hearts to receive that message this morning. And there might be those that would make the decision, and those of us who have previously made the decision might recommit ourselves to that decision of building our life upon doing what you said you want it done. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray it. God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about why the chicken coop and the goat shed on the hillside at the home place where I was raised are no longer standing. While the house that you so generously just bought for Lynn and I is built on the same West Virginia hills, and yet it doesn't have a crack in any of its mortar joints. Not in the block, not in the brick, not even in the plaster work inside. All three of those structures were built about 60 years ago. But the chicken coop and the goat shed, you'd have a hard time finding. Unless I pointed them out to you, you wouldn't believe there was ever structures upon that piece of ground since they have fallen completely over the hill. Whereas the house that you so kindly bought Lynn and I, also built 60 years ago on the same West Virginia hillsides, it stands secure because it wasn't built like those shanties upon the ground. It was built with deep, solid, firm foundations. Now that's the parable that Jesus tells this morning. And of course he's talking more about sheds and shanties and houses. He's talking about human lives and what we have built our lives upon. And Jesus says that those who've built their lives upon doing and not just hearing what Jesus has to say stand a better chance of surviving the storms that are coming down the road. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now consider what great difference that little decision might make in your life. If this morning, today, you made the decision that no longer are you just going to assemble to hear what it is Jesus wants done, but from now on today, you're going to try to do whatever it is that Jesus once done. Consider what a great difference that little decision might make in your life down the road. Have you ever looked back at a crossroad in your life where you had a pretty consequential decision to make and you made it? But you wonder now, looking back, what it would have been like if you turned right instead of left. If you made a different decision than what you did, have you ever played that game and thought to yourself, I wonder what life would be like if just that one decision in my life, if I just made it differently, what would my life be like today? What if you stayed in school? No, most of us did, but some of us didn't. What if you stayed in school? How would your life be different? What if you chose a different career path? What if you decided to live somewhere else? What if you decided to do something else? What if you had decided to live with someone else? Now, we're not going to go down that road any further. But, I mean, we look back at certain decisions that were just so consequential. And we made a decision. And we're not saying it was the right one. We're not saying it was the wrong one. But, I mean, we just look back and say, wow, life could be so different now. In fact, I don't even know how different it would be now if I'd made a different decision then. Well, think of this. If you decided right now, you would begin doing what Jesus wants done in your life, how might your life be different down the road in the future? Especially when it comes to surviving the storms of life that may be coming. At its core, that's what a decision to become a Christian and to follow Christ is all about. And that's what we are being privileged to see played out once again this morning, someone coming to that crossroad in life and deciding to turn right.
Hi there, my name is Jared Fracker. I've decided today to get baptized into Christ. Most of you know my recent stroke and, you know, battle in the hospital, but I decided this just because I'm a big believer in proving people wrong, and I guess today I'm proving myself wrong, more or less. I've always grew up going to church, to this church, and being around and the Christian faith and all that, but never really took hold. I would say until this last trip to the hospital. I lost a pulse for 4 minutes there while they were trying to bring my pressures up and all that stuff. But during that time, I was able to see something pretty special. I don't know if many of you may know, but my grandpa passed away a couple months ago. And we were pretty close during that flash, I assume. But during that flash, I was able to see him again and, kind of talk to him there for a second. So at that moment, that's kind of when I knew, that's when I truly believed. So, I guess I proved myself wrong there in a sense. I guess it just means that, playing sports all my life, you had a team around you. You had multiple people to have your back, and that's what you counted on. Well, through baptism, it just reassures that you always have someone to watch your back. I'm just super excited. I know all you guys have been praying for me, so I really appreciate that. There's no way for me to show exactly how thankful I am, so hopefully this does it justice. My name is Jared Fracker, and I'm so excited to worship here at Lucky Valley Church of Christ with my family.
Good morning. Well, this is one Sunday that I hope that my son is not watching online, because he claims that I didn't cry at his baptism, and this is the day that the Lord has made. And Jared, it's been such an honor to have watched. Sometimes it was an honor, sometimes it was, I wanted to pull my hair out too, because you're such an ornery little guy, and but I loved seeing you grow up. You proved a lot of people wrong over the years. People that said you wouldn't, survive this, you wouldn't survive this, and you wouldn't survive this, and yet you keep on ticking. And so, Jared, this is an honor of honors to be able to do this with you here this morning. And and I've heard your heart, and but I want to ask you so that these people can hear your heart as well. Jared, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and God's Son and your Savior?
I do.
I want you to repeat after me. I believe.
I believe.
That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Because He died for me.
He died for me.
I'm going to live for Him. Jared Crocker, because you're a good confession, you're now being baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of all your sins, and for the gift of God's grace.
Happy day, oh happy day. The day Jesus washed my sins away. What a great, great decision. A decision that, like James says, from now on you're going to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. If you're here this morning just to hear God's word and you think that the hearing of God's word is what you need to do, you're just deceiving yourself. We're hearing God's word so that we'll do it, so that we'll make a decision like Jared and be a doer and say, no more hearing only. It's time for incorporating all these teachings of Jesus into my life and start doing what He wants done. What a great decision. Only time now will tell the difference this one decision, not just to listen to Jesus, but to actually begin doing what Jesus wants done. This one decision that He's going to start doing, is only time will tell how much of a difference that one decision is going to make in that young man's life and in the life of his family. Understand this here. Each of these decisions is an individual's decision. But this individual's decision ripples out and affects other people, and probably no more other people than your own family. No man is an island to himself. We live in community. And there's no closer community that most of us live in than the community of our own families. We rub off on one another as we bump into one another through the day. Sometimes we rub each other the wrong way through the day. But sometimes we make helpful impressions upon the other people in our family. Sometimes we set wonderful examples for other people in our family to follow as well. Parents who decide to follow Jesus, and then they do it. Not just hearing what Jesus wants done, but they actually start doing it, incorporating it in their family life. They set an incredible example before the watching eyes of their children that is often never forgotten and often followed by their own children. Spouses who struggle to do what Jesus says, even when their spouse is not yet on board with such a decision themselves. Spouses who still go ahead and commit themselves to making the decision. My spouse might not be on board with following Jesus yet, but I'm going to try to do what Jesus says. Those spouses are often rewarded with their husband or their wife joining them later down the road in following Jesus as well. In fact, that's the Apostle Peter's suggested strategy for Christian wives to lead their non-Christian husbands to Christ. The Apostle Peter says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands so that even if some do not obey the word, they haven't signed up for doing these things yet. But go ahead and be subject so that even if some do not obey the word, they will be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Sometimes those spouses who do that are rewarded by seeing their spouses who weren't on board yet come to follow in their decision to follow Christ. Children are often instrumental in leading their own parents to the Lord in much the same way. Back to the Lord, some of them. Mom and dad, sometimes grandma and grandpa, they see a son or a daughter, a grandson or a granddaughter, and the change in their life, the commitment the young person is struggling with to do what Jesus says in a world that obviously is not interested in even listening to what Jesus said, no less doing what Jesus says. And they see in their own son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter this desire to be different. Even if the world goes a different path, they're going to choose the narrow way and they're going to try their best to do what Jesus says he wants done. Sometimes a parent or a grandparent who sees that in their son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, sometimes they turn to the Lord as well, or return to the Lord that they had slipped away from following. That's what it was for me. For me, it was my whole family. I'm a middle child. I'm from a family of five kids, and I'm the middle one. Psychologists will tell you I'm all mixed up because of that, but regardless, I'm the middle of five, and at the time, my baby sister had not been born yet, but my whole family had made their decisions to follow Christ and begin doing what Jesus said and not just going to church and listening to the words of Jesus, and I was the last holdout in the whole family, and that scared me to death. I didn't want to be the only one the family left behind. And that's why I came to Christ. It really was. There's no doubt. I remember it very well on Saturday night, thinking, I'm the only one in this house tonight that if Christ comes, he's going to be left behind. And I couldn't bear that thought. And I told myself when the invitation was sung the next Sunday morning, I was coming to Christ. And I can remember the worship service beginning, and I just wanted to get to the end of it. And I don't know who preached, I don't know what was sung, I don't know what was done, but just get to the invitation hymn. I want to get on board with the rest of my family in Christ. And I was shaking in my boots and making my way up to that baptistry, just a runt of a little guy, and And my feet wouldn't touch the floor of the baptistry. And I can remember holding onto the preacher's arm like a little chipmunk, trying to keep my nose above the water. And my feet were just kicking down below because nothing was down there for me to stand on. And when the preacher came time to baptize me, he just said, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit." Bloop. See, he knew there was nothing underneath me. But you know, I am very grateful for what my family did for me. My family, by their decisions, led me to mine. And that may very well be what we're privileged to see playing out here this morning as well, as Lori Montgomery comes to make her decision. Give her a hand, would you please?
Lori, I'm so glad you're here. And of course, you have family here and your mother's here. If you've been around Licking Valley very long, you knew her dad, John Buckingham, and what a man. And I think this is what Gus is talking about. I mean, there's just an example, and the example of your sisters, Kathy and Sue, as well here. And but I want to ask you here in front of the crowd here. Now, you've already been immersed, and you want to commit to working and worshiping together with Licking Valley, and we welcome you with Amen. Open arms. And so, but I just want to ask you, so that everyone can hear, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and God's Son and your Savior?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Repeat after
Amen.
Me. I believe.
I believe.
That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Because he died for me.
Because he died for me.
And keep on living for him.
And I'll keep living for him.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Wonderful. 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 Thank you. It's so nice to see family get to worship together. I get envious, and I know I tell people when I say it, I know it's a sin. I'm not supposed to do it. But I do get envious when I see siblings getting to worship together, or when John and Maxine were able to worship with the girls here, and now all the sisters together. This is a wonderful thing. Family getting together in Christ, not just to listen to the words of Christ, but so that they could all be on board with doing what Christ wants done in the family life. All doing it together. Nothing better. There's no better decision for you, and there's nothing better for your family too. And think of this, not just your present family, but we're talking about your future family too. This is what got me thinking about this whole message. Several weeks ago, we brought Steve and Sarah Harley and their girls up to Licking Valley to have a sit-down with our church leadership and with our church staff and with a cross-section of our congregation so that our future senior minister and his family could see for themselves what they'd be getting themselves into if they came here to be our senior minister, and so that we could see what a wonderful fit that Steve and Sarah and the girls are going to be in the Church Valley here. And it was a wonderful meeting. But in each of those three meetings, we let Steve listen, and Sarah and the girls, we let them listen to us introduce ourselves. You know, the elders would introduce themselves and their wives and their kids, and then they'd say how they came to the church, how they got their decision for Christ, who influenced them. And then we took them to a church staff meeting where the staff and all their spouses was there, and we had each spouse member introduce themselves, and they said how they came to Christ, who influenced them, and who introduced them to the Licking Valley Church, gave them the invitation to bring them here. And then we took them to a cross-section of the church leadership. We did it all over again. I sat there and listened to it all three times. And as I was listening to all this, I thought, it's interesting to see how Christ has made its way down through the generations to the people that are now part of the Licking Valley Church of Christ. It was a reminder to me about how there were so many individuals generations ago who are already at home with the Lord now, but they made their decisions for the Lord 40, 50, 60 years ago, and now their decisions are affecting generations of their families that were way in the future of their coming when they made their decisions so long ago. I'm thinking of a certain great-grandfather and a great-grandmother who made the decision to come to Jesus and make Licking Valley Church their church home 60 years ago. And now they have their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren who are making the very same decisions. They're coming to Christ and they're making the decision to make Licking Valley Church their church home as well. And there are so many other stories like that that I could tell. In fact, often when I see I still call them young people. I've been criticized a little for doing that, but I'm just getting old and the world's looking younger and younger. But, I see some of these young people taking leadership responsibilities in the church and taking ministry responsibilities in the church and reading scripture in church, teaching lessons, holding life groups in their homes, becoming chosen church leaders, elders, deacons, trustees in the church. And sometimes I look and I'm so happy and so proud, but I think, oh man, if their grandma could just see them now. And I hope they're looking down. I know we like to think that, you know, those who've gone on to glory are looking down upon us, but my goodness, some grandparents and great grandparents have to be so, so proud now of what has become of a decision that they made 60 years ago when they brought Christ into their family and they brought their family into this church. I've seen their faith handed down from generation to generation to generation. I'm getting closer to joining some of those folks who've gone on to be with the Lord. And I can't wait. If I beat you there, I can't wait to tell them about some of you and what you're doing here. They're going to be so proud to hear what you're doing here. You know, the Apostle Paul saw that very thing happening in young Timothy, the Christian young man that the Apostle Paul was so proud of. The Apostle Paul wrote to that young preacher man, he said, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I'm sure dwells in you as well." Think about this. We're not told that Timothy had ever met his grandmother Lois. Now I hope he did. I hope he did. Now mortality rates were different back then. People died at a much younger age than they do right now. And there's a lot of us that have not met some of our grandparents. There's a very good likelihood that when Paul said, "I am reminded of your grandmother Lois," Timothy would have said, I wish I could have met her too. I've heard a lot about her. But there's a good chance. I hope he did. But she could have already gone home to be with the Lord before Timothy was born. But Paul knew his grandmother. And Paul saw in young Timothy her faith in him. He saw that. And he saw her faith passed down from generation to generation until finally to Tiny Tim, who wasn't so tiny anymore. Young people have a way of doing that, don't they? They grow up. You know, I remember when little Jared Fracker was a little boy with a knapsack on his back running around about that big through the monkey bars. I met him in a baby crib at Children's Hospital. Didn't know he's going to make it then. We prayed and the Lord answered. But that young boy now is 6'10". I don't know what he is, you know. But that something happens to these young people, you know. It must be the groceries we feed them or something. But they grow up. They get big. And there's Tiny Tim. The faith has been passed down from Lois to Eunice to Tiny Tim, who's now a young, strong, strapping preacher man who's out there preaching the faith of his grandmother and his mother, and now a faith of his own as well. Never discount your lone decision to follow Jesus. The difference that one decision could make, the difference in making the decision today, I'm going to start trying to do what Jesus once done and not just assembling and hearing about what he once done. No, I'm going to start trying to do what he once done. Making that one decision, oh my, do not underestimate the difference that will make not only for you, but for your family and for your future family too. I'm the son of Grandpa Gus. I never met Grandpa Gus. Grandpa Gus was home with the Lord before I was ever born. I think that's why Mom and Dad called me Gus. They were honoring my dad's dad, a Sunday school superintendent up in Clay County Hills of West Virginia, who was already home with the Lord. Wanted one of his boys to be a preacher. And one day I'm going to get to meet Grandpa Gus and say, Grandpa Gus, I'm your grandson Gus. And I'm one of them preachers that you always wanted born. Never discount your decision and what it's going to mean for future generations. That may very well be what we're getting ready to see right now here this morning.
My pleasure is the better half, maybe, of the Casey and Laura Oakley family. This is Laura Oakley. And Casey's mom and dad are back there with us as well. And she just said, Waylon is back there wreaking havoc in the nursery. And so it's the very thing that we're talking about here. But Laura, I'm so thankful that that you and Casey want to be a part and work and worship with. Casey is on a fire rotation today, and so he is at work. But I know that you two come together. But I want to ask you, Laura, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and God's Son and your Savior?
I do.
And repeat after me, I believe.
I believe.
That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Because he died for me.
Because he died for me.
I'm going to live for him.
I'll live for him.
Awesome. Amen.
Awesome.
Great, great decisions. I'm glad Casey's on board there with that decision as well. And what this is now going to mean for their future family back there, and for the family yet not even envisioned, not a twinkle in daddy's eye yet, but a future family and the difference that it may come. And think of this. I know we've been talking about the future family and life in this life, but think about what a difference these decisions are going to make in everyone's eternity to come. Think about that. You know, Jesus said in just a few verses prior to the ones we're looking at this morning, Jesus said this, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." Just because you say those words, that doesn't get you in. No, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And here we have some folks who've done that. They decided today they're going to try and do what the Lord wants done. They're going to incorporate their family into this church family. They're going to worship and work with us. They're going to learn with us. They're going to try to do what Jesus wants done with us. What a difference. What a difference that may become in eternity. You know, the Lord says there's no better foundation to build your life upon. This one decision. There's no better foundation to build your life upon than this one decision. Ford talks about their trucks being built Ford tough. You know, and they show it handling the roughest terrain in the world. My brother-in-law just bought a Dodge Ram truck, the heftiest Dodge I've ever seen. And all over the Ram truck is emblazoned the words, "Built to Serve." It's a military version of the Dodge Ram truck, and I've never seen such a hefty vehicle. I don't know why you need something like that. We're not in a war over here. But built to serve. But this morning, Jesus is telling us the strongest foundation upon which to build is this one decision. One decision that from this day forward, I'm going to try to do what Jesus once done. There is no better foundation that can be built upon for whatever it is that awaits us down the road. Amen? And we're talking to those folks who are at home this morning too. We're allowing them to have the opportunity to join in making decisions. And you can text in your decision now to the hosts of those online forums. And we'll have your decision presented by some of those hosts here this morning at the conclusion of the service. And we'll be contacting you. If it's a decision to accept Christ in Christian baptism, we'll be making a reservation in the baptistry for you. If you can do it yet this afternoon, we'll do that too. We've got different times reserved all afternoon. But this is a decision that you'll never regret in this life or in the life to come. A solid foundation upon which to build your home. Jesus said it this way. He says, then the rain fell from heaven. And then the floods came from earth. And then the winds beat against the sides of that house, ravaging that home from every side. About that, you and I have no decision. What storm will be coming? How severe will it become? The decision we're given is what kind of foundation we're going to build our homes upon. That we think is going to be able to withstand such a beating in time ahead. Now, those who've made following Christ your decision in this last year, you can set a wonderful example this morning if you'll just stand. If you've made a decision in the last year that you're going to try to do what Christ once done, would you just stand wherever you are? Just stand. If you've made a decision in the last year, maybe it was a decision for Christian baptism, you'll listen to what he has to say, but it's not just to hear. It's not just to become more informed. It's not just to get smarter. It's not just to say that you were there, but you listened to hear what it was that Christ wanted done, and then you were going to try your best to do it. What a great decision you made. What a sure foundation you've built upon. How prepared you are for the coming storms. Give them a hand, would you? Those made these decisions. I continue standing. Now I'm going to ask all of us to stand with them. And we're going to pray that we'll all make such a good decision. If we've already made that decision, we'll thank God that he gave us the opportunity to do so. If we've strayed from that decision, we'll rededicate ourselves to returning to that foundation. But this wasn't a time just to hear about Jesus. This was time to hear what he once done so that we do it. So that when the storms would come, our lives would survive the beating from whatever direction it comes. If you've not yet made your decision for Christ, we're going to provide an opportunity in just a moment for you to just walk down front and join Jeff here. Jody will be on one wing. I'll be on the other. And you can join all the others in the decisions that they had planned to make here this morning. We'll give you a chance to confess Christ before the crowd. Many of these people are scheduled for baptism later on this afternoon. If you'd like to be scheduled, we'll do that for you too. If you're online, this would be a time again where you could text in that you want to be part of a congregation like this. You want to build your home on a solid foundation, one where you'll hear the words of Jesus, but you'll be motivated and compelled to put them into practice in your life so that when the storm comes, you'll be able to survive the beating of your home. Let's pray together here, could we please? Lord, we do thank you for the storm warning that you've given us this morning. We thank you more for the opportunity to prepare and how we can dig down deep enough into your way of life that we can commit ourselves to incorporating that into our lives until our foundations are secure enough, we will survive And we pray, Lord, our family, our friends, all that we can influence by our lives, they'll join us in securing such a secure foundation. Help us all build our lives upon that foundation before the storm comes. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray it. God's people said, amen.
The left-hand side over here, Sherry, I'm so glad that you're here this morning. So glad that you're here. This is Sherry Crom, if you don't know. If you've been a part of Licking Valley Elementary School or Intermediate School, you know Sherry well. And I always thought you hated me because Wonderful Wednesday. And I thought, man, if we could turn someone off towards the church, you know. But you've been such a blessing in this community. And Sherry's been with us online since last year, and so it's so great to have you. And Sherry, I want to ask, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and God's Son, and your Savior?
I do.
All right, repeat after me.
I believe
that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Because he died for me.
Because he died for me.
I'm going to live for him.
I'm going to live for him.
Already an immersed believer. Thank you, Sherry, so much. These are our parking lot folks, and every Sunday I get a text from Charlie and Sherry Merrill, and Sherry is actually Jim Holton's sister. If you know Jim, there he is, proud brother. But Charlie and Sherry, I'm so thankful that you guys are here in the building, and I just want to ask, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and your Savior?
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
All right, repeat after me.
I believe
that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Because he died for me.
Because he died for me.
I'm going to live for him.
I'm going to live for him.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I want to introduce Kyle and Nicole Gerton. And then Nicole actually goes with Scott Vierstra too. Well, it's kind of a weird thing, but brother and sister here. And then Abigail, you wonderful video that you guys put together for us. Thank you so much for sharing your heart in that too. And all already immersed believers. And I know that you know, with the loss of your pastor at Perry Chapel and all that stuff, and a devastating thing. We're so thankful to be able to welcome you here, and we know how hard you worked and how awesome you are raising your children. But I want to ask the four of you together, if you would, please. Do you all believe still that Jesus is the Christ and God's Son and your Savior?
Yes.
Yes. And say, repeat after me. We believe.
We believe
that Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Because he died for me.
Because he died for me.
We're going to live for him.
We're going to live for him.
So Andrew and Bethany are life group members, and not just life group members. Bethany does the dishes for our life group every Sunday night because she's the one that they host in their home. And I've worked with Bethany for years at Heartbeats. And Andrew, I love you, and I'm so thankful that the Lord has broken your heart. Like Jared reminded us, like, I want to prove myself wrong today. And so I'm so thankful that you guys are here. We haven't really talked. This was a surprise for me, and I'm so thankful that you're here. What is the decision that you guys have made?
Renewed faith.
Yes. All right. So I want to ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and God's Son and your Savior?
Yes.
Repeat after me. I believe.
I believe.
That Jesus is the Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
The Son of the living God.
Because he died for me.
Because he died for me.
We're going to keep on living.
We're going to keep on living.
Absolutely. Welcome. You know, we've been praying about this day since back in November, and it's kind of like we had a thought like, oh, wouldn't it be great? And the Lord just said, you're thinking too small. You're thinking too small. And I'm so thankful for all of you that have made the decision to follow Christ and Christian baptism and keep on living the faith. Here's the thing that we found out about this whole thing is it was more like, hey, we were just waiting to be asked. We were just waiting to be asked. And you have people in your life we're asking, let's charge the gates with being kingdom builders, and really it could be that simple. You have neighbors that know that you're a Christian and they're just waiting to be asked. And if you still have a decision to make today, we're gonna welcome you with open arms. The worship band's gonna sing the last part of this song. We're gonna partake in communion. But please, before you leave the building today, if the Lord has pricked your heart, I think about Acts 2:38. What must we do to be saved? And please, if the Lord has pricked your heart before you leave the building today, we'll welcome you with open arms. God bless you.